And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, we got all these crazy ideas about spiritual warfare. You know, we got all these half-concocted ideas about how to exercise spiritual warfare. But if you want to know the classic passage on dealing with spiritual warfare, if you want to know the classic passage for the fight that Christians have with the forces of darkness, it's Ephesians chapter 6. And my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that if you will master Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, you will know how to do spiritual warfare. You won't have to go to any seminars, and you won't have to go buy this guy's tape series or this book or that book. If you just master Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, you will master spiritual warfare.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Preparation for the Battle from our series titled Looking for a Reason to Fight. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Preparation for the Battle.
My. We're going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. And as we continue on with our series that we've been dealing with, Something Worth Fighting For, we've talked about how to find a cause that we need to fight for, that everybody ought to have a cause to fight for. But this morning we're going to talk about a fight that sometimes you might be in that you're not looking for, and that is a spiritual fight. And we're going to deal with how to prepare for spiritual battle as we deal with the fight that, like I said, whether we want to be in this fight or not, sometimes we find ourselves cast into it. And Paul very definitely makes us aware of this fact in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10 when he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And as we look at this passage, we're going to break down the first three verses. And you know, that's one beautiful thing about expository preaching, is that after you read the text, then you go back and explain the text. I've been in so many places where the text has been read and nothing has been said the rest of the service about the text. So we're going to go back and break the text down for you today as we deal with this whole idea of preparing for spiritual battles. In National Geographic, they ran an article about the Alaskan bull moose. And it seems that in the fall, these bull moose, what they do is they fight for dominance. And usually the bigger and the one with the strongest horns will win. The reason being because as they lock horns, they often collide and bump heads. And usually the one that's bigger and has the stronger horns will win in the fight. Sometimes when they lock heads, the horns of one will break off, and that symbolizes or signifies automatic defeat. Now, the very interesting thing that this article brought out, which is the key to our sermon today, is the fact that what they do in the summertime, how they eat, if they eat the right things, if they nourish their bodies the right way, if they drink enough water, that they will be big enough and their horns will be strong enough that in the fall, when they lock in the fight, they'll have a chance to win. And you know, it's the same way in the Christian life, that we get into fights in the falls of our life. Maybe it may be later on in the day. Maybe it might be later on in the week. We get into fights in the falls of our life. And a lot of it depends as to whether or not we're going to get the victory, how we nourished ourselves in the summer, how we have been nourishing ourselves in the house of God, how we have been nourishing ourselves daily at the feet of God, how we have sunk our roots in devotion and prayer and Bible study and fellowship, how we have prepared ourselves in the summertime will depend how the outcome is in the fall when we get into the heat of the battle. And if you haven't prepared yourself early, then later when the fight comes, you're not going to be ready for it. You're not going to have the horns to be able to lock up with the devil. He's just going to come and break your horns off, and next thing you know, you're going to be falling flat on the ground. And that's the purpose of this study. As we step out and fight, as you find a cause to fight for, I guarantee you that that fight is not going to be without opposition. When you get busy, the first person that's going to oppose you is going to be Satan. Now, I know that there's some people, because I've read it, now hopefully nobody here, but I've read it, that some people don't believe in the devil. Well, now we know where that came from. Some people don't believe in, Pastor Glaze, you know, we are too intelligent to actually believe that there would be a person exist today who is the ruler of all evil, who goes about on this earth seeking. We have a problem accepting that fact. Well, you probably wonder, the greatest got deceived this morning, because there is a devil. The Bible talks about a literal devil, and he is the believer's opponent. And Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, we got all these crazy ideas about spiritual warfare. You know, we got all these half-concocted ideas about how to exercise spiritual warfare. But if you want to know the classic passage on dealing with spiritual warfare, if you want to know the classic passage for the fight that Christians have with the forces of darkness, it's Ephesians chapter 6. And my brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that if you will master Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, you will know how to do spiritual warfare. You won't have to go to any seminars, and you won't have to go buy this guy's tape series or this book or that book. If you just master Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, you will master spiritual warfare. And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is to go through and break this down. Because we want everybody, you know, I realize that anytime you do something for God, we're trying to do a work here for God. And whenever you try to do that, Satan is going to give you opposition. And we need to be ready. We need to be armored up so that as we get into this battle, that we're ready to fight. Some of us need to be armored up in our homes so that we can fight the battle. We need to be armored up on our job so that we can fight the battle. We need to have the armor of God. The background to this passage, the book of Ephesians is what is known as a prison epistle. And Paul actually wrote this letter from prison. He wrote it from a Roman dungeon. Now, if you look, we studied on Wednesday night, we are looking at Bible geography. And last Wednesday night, we studied the travels of the Apostle Paul as he wanted to leave Jerusalem, and he went to Rome to preach the gospel. And we saw all the stuff that he went through. But look at Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And in Acts chapter 28, we see that Paul finally makes it to Rome. And in verse 16, it says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." All right, a soldier. Paul was in prison, but he was in a house prison. He wasn't like the rest of it, but he was in prison, in a house prison, and he had a Roman soldier that was beside him. Then look what he says in verse 20. "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. So Paul is in a Roman prison. He's bound with the chain, and he's kept by a Roman guard. And as Paul began to reflect on the battles of life, and as Paul began to realize that he was in an intense struggle, that he was in a war with the enemy, he wanted to write a word of encouragement to the people at Ephesus. And so he's looking at this Roman guard, and all of a sudden he says, this is what I'll tell them. I'll tell them that they are in a spiritual battle, and that unless they take up the resources and the armor and the suit that God has provided, they are not going to be successful in this battle. And that's where the armor of God comes from. It comes from this whole idea that God ministered to Paul that spiritual warfare is a reality in our lives, and that we need to be prepared for spiritual warfare. And Paul's looking at this Roman guard, and he writes Ephesians chapter 6. Now, as we think about battles, spiritual battles, there are four types of spiritual battles. And as we think about the four types of spiritual battles, and this is not in your notes, they'll be up on the screen in a second, because, see, I want to be careful that we don't blame everything on the devil, all right, that we don't blame everything on the devil. And so when we talk about spiritual battles, there are four areas where the spiritual battle comes from. The first area is the flesh against the believer. That is, sometimes we are our own worst enemies. We are in a spiritual battle, not because of anything on the outside, not because of some other person, not because of the devil, but we are in a spiritual battle because of our own making. Like I said last week, the pastor said, sometimes we need to realize that the enemy is enemy. And that is so key. You know, I'm not going to forget that. The enemy is enemy. And that's so true. So we can't blame everything on the devil. Now, the second battle that we will find ourselves in, and that first battle is Galatians 5:17. We're not going to look at all these scriptures. But the first battle is Galatians 5:17, that we will struggle within ourselves. The second battle is God against the believer. God against the believer. You say, God, you mean to tell me I'm in a battle with God? Yes, you sure are. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. It talks about the chastening hand of God, that God, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And some of us are in a battle today, not with Satan, not with ourselves, not with the world, but some of us are in a battle with God. We have to be careful. Once again, not blaming everything on the devil. It's easy to blame. And see, that's the problem with our world today. It's just easy to blame something on the devil, and then we don't have to take personal responsibility. There was a priest that was in France, and he was driving down the road, and he was picked up for speeding. And when he was stopped, the policeman came over to his car and asked him why he was driving so fast and irresponsibly. And the priest said, well, all of a sudden, my car just started to pick up speed. And he said, for some reason, it just kept going faster and faster. He said, I think my car was possessed. Some evil force must have taken my car over. No, it was your foot. It was your foot. Don't blame that on the devil. You see, and sometimes, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves. You know, you know what? I thank God that God is a loving God. I thank God that God is a merciful God. I thank God that he takes care of us. He watches over us. He nurtures us. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy, all that good stuff. But we need to realize, too, that sometimes these spiritual battles that we are in is because God is battling against us. He's trying to get us to do the right thing. As a matter of fact, that's what Hebrews chapter 12 says. It says that after that battle has been over, hopefully, that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the objective of God's battle. And then we need to realize, number three, that we're in a battle against the world. It's the world against the believer. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. You know, this world is no friend of grace. Sometimes it's just, man, you can't go anywhere without being tempted, tried, set back, knocked down. All these things. You just attack everywhere you go. There's an attack. As soon as you're someplace where you think you might be safe, something comes on TV and attacks you. As soon as you're someplace where you think you might be safe, some philosophy comes against you and attacks you. So we're in a battle with the world. Make no bones about it. We are in a battle with the world. But the battle that I want to talk about is not the battle against the flesh, even though there is a battle against the flesh. I want to be real. I just don't want to present to you. See, some people just present one side to you and say that the devil is the source of all our problems. They got that Flip Wilson theology. The devil made me do it. See, I want to present and let you know that there are other options so that when you get in a battle, just don't first start looking for the devil. You know, look in the mirror. That's the right place to start, right there. So we do have a battle against the flesh. We have a battle against God. We have a battle against the world. But then our fourth battle is against Satan. And see, that's what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul was talking about a battle against the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, you don't have to turn there, but he said that the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. So we're in a battle today with Satan. And so let us see what it is that God has provided for us in this battle. Look at chapter 6 of Ephesians and verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We see spiritual battles require spiritual strength. You can't fight the battle in your own strength. You can't come up against one demon if he was had both hands tied, had a blindfold on, had all kind of infirmities and weaknesses where he couldn't do, you still couldn't beat him. You can't fight demons in your own strength. That's the guys kill me, man. I tell you, the last thing that I want to do is deal with somebody that's demon-possessed. You know, I'm a pastor, and I know that God has given me the abilities to tap into your resources, but that's not something I go looking for. You know, there are guys that, you know, they're going around looking. They're like the crocodile hunter, man. They're going around looking for demons. Now, if one comes, then I'll deal with it. I'm not going to go look for them. Because, first of all, you can't fight demons in your own strength. You need spiritual strength. And that's what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong," look what he says, "in the Lord." That's positional strength. And then he says it's in the power of his might. That's practical strength. Let me break the difference down between the two. Positional strength. When I went to Africa, before I left, I had these flowers in pots on my driveway. And I had fertilized them. I had watered them. And when I left to go to Africa, man, they just had blossomed out. And there was all kind of pretty little buds flowering out. Man, it was so beautiful. So beautiful. And then I left, and my wife left, and she went to New Mexico. And when I came back from Africa, man, my flowers were dead. Dead. I mean, they were just, there was no, absolutely no flower on it at all. And no green, no foliage at all. It just, the whole thing just dried up and just cracked just like that. That's how dead it was. Well, what happened? You know, there was nobody there to put water in so that it could draw from the water and the roots could draw from the water and be strengthened throughout the rest of the plant. Paul says here, this is positional strength, that when we root ourselves in God, when we root ourselves in the soil of his word, in the soil of his word, and in the soil of prayer, and in the soil of fellowship, this plant don't have to do anything. Nothing. It don't have to do a thing. All it just got to do is sit there. You know what that is? That's positional strength. Just drawing on the resources that's available to it. And God says, look, the first thing you can do is just rest in me and stand behind me. and you'll be strong. That's positional strength. You know, it's just like if somebody says they have a famous dad and they're trying to wield their way around and impress somebody, what will they say? Well, you know who my dad is. You know, my dad is so-and-so. Well, what are they saying? They're saying that, look, I'm not here based upon my reputation. I'm here based on my dad's reputation. And if you mess with me, you got to mess with my dad. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying to the believer, look, be positionally strong. All you have to do is just root yourself in God. All you have to do is just sink your roots in the things that will nourish your soul, and you will be strong. Man, that's a powerful concept when you think about it. There's very little required on my part to be positionally strong. God has done everything, and God has placed me. You know, I was going to preach a message, and I haven't got to it yet, but it's in the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, it said that God planted a vineyard. It said that God nurtured the vineyard, that God watered the vineyard, that God took care of the vineyard. And instead of the vineyard bringing forth fruit, it brought forth rotten fruit. Now, why is that? That's because even though it was in God, it wasn't sinking its roots in God. God took care of it. God nurtured it. But the vine didn't allow itself to be strengthened by the Lord. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. You don't have this positional strength. You know, by nature of the fact that you are a Christian, you are eligible for positional strength. I didn't know when I turned 50 that I was eligible for AARP. I just started getting stuff in the mail. So just by nature of the fact that I turned 50, positionally I was eligible. Well, by nature of the fact that you are a Christian, that you are a child of God, you are eligible to be positionally strong. And there is no reason why the child of God should not be positionally strong. Just rooting yourself down in the Lord. But Paul not only says to be positionally strong, but look, he says you can be practically strong. He says, and in the power of his might. Whereas positional strength refers to God's person, his practical strength refers to his resources. Believers can tap into the power of God's resources and use them in the time of spiritual battle. What are the resources that God has provided? Salvation, faith, righteousness, peace, truth, and his word. These are all things that we're going to talk about that God has practically provided for us. You know what? There is no reason why any child of God should be defeated by Satan. Absolutely no reason at all. You've got positional strength, and then you've got practical strength. That God has practically made everything available for you to be strong. How can you lose with the stuff you use? God has laid it all out for you. And notice this, that this practical strength, and I love this right here, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. This practical strength, it says here, and what is the greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Preparation for the Battle. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Preparation for the Battle, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Preparation for the Battle. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Preparation for the Battle. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor of soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be.